Matthew chapter 24. Now, Matthew chapter 24, I think, is a chapter that can be very confusing if you don't understand that it's split into two subjects. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, "Do you not see all these things? Truly I say to you, there shall not be one stone left here on another that shall not be thrown down." Well, what is Jesus talking about? He's talking about the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem is going to happen in the future. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of your coming and of the end of the world?" Now, I don't know if the disciples understood that they were asking two separate questions. I don't know. But they are. They are asking, when is this temple in Jerusalem going to be destroyed that you just talked about? And then, when is the end of the world coming? Well, whether they understood that they were asking two separate questions or not, Jesus is going to answer two separate questions. So verses 1 through 35 of this chapter is talking about what is going to happen in AD 70 when the Romans come and basically destroy Jerusalem, including the temple. Then verses 36 through 51 is talking about the end, judgment day, the end of the world. Okay, so that's what we need to keep in mind. Two separate questions, two separate answers. And Jesus answered and said to them. Now, again, he's going to first talk about AD 70, the destruction of Jerusalem. "Be careful that no man deceives you, for many shall come in my name, saying, 'I am Christ,' and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." Again, he's not talking about the end of the world. He's talking about the end of Judaism, the end of Jerusalem, really the end of the Jews as a nation. "For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows." So there's going to be a lot of signs. A lot of signs. This is probably around AD 30 when Jesus is speaking to his disciples. And we know that Jerusalem was destroyed in AD 70. So he's talking about something that's going to happen in about 40 years. "Then they shall deliver you up." Remember, he's talking to his disciples. "Then they shall deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated by all nations for my name's sake." And, you know, we know that the apostles were martyred, killed, persecuted, all kinds of things. "And then many shall fall away, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another." So, the coming of the church is going to cause a lot of disruption. Because some will believe and obey, some will not. Let's see. "And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall grow cold. But he who endures to the end, the same shall be saved." Again, remember, not the end of the world, but until AD 70. "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world as it is witness to all nations, and then the end shall come." So, once the gospel has been spread throughout the known world, then the end will come. Then AD 70 will occur. "Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet," I don't think he means Daniel prophesied of this. I think what he means is like the prophecy of the abomination of desolation from Daniel. When it looks like that, then you know that it's near. The reason I say that is because the prophecies in Daniel weren't about AD 70. They were more in Daniel's time. Stand in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee into the mountains. So when Christians living in Jerusalem see all of the signs, especially the ones that are similar to the ones spoken of by Daniel the prophet in his book, when Christians in Jerusalem start seeing this, that's when they know. That's when they know that it's time to go, to flee Jerusalem, because the Romans are coming and they're going to utterly destroy Jerusalem, including the temple. Then let those who are in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. I mean, we can use some common sense to see this doesn't have anything to do with the end of the world and Judgment Day, because what would be the point of trying to run and hide? You can't run and hide from God on Judgment Day. Do not let him who is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe to those who are with child and to those who nurse children in those days. But pray that your flight is not in the winter or on the Sabbath day. Again, wouldn't make sense if this was talking about the end of the world. This is talking about when you see the Roman army coming. If you're living in Jerusalem as a Christian, you see the Roman army coming, this is when you need to run. Run for your lives. For then there shall be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. Basically, it's going to be bad. It is going to be bad. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. The elect would be Christians, members of the Lord's church. If it wasn't for the Christians living in Jerusalem, God may have allowed this to go on for longer than it did. That's how I'm taking that. Then if any man says to you, look, here is Christ, or there, do not believe it. It's not the end of the world yet. For false Christs and false prophets shall arise and shall show great signs and wonders to such a degree that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Again, Christians, members of the Lord's church. Behold, I have told you before. I am warning you now. Therefore, if they say to you, behold, he is in the desert, do not go forth, or behold, he is in the secret chambers, do not believe it. It's not me. This is AD 70. It's not the end of the world yet. It's not me. Because, he says, for as the lightning comes out of the east and shines even to the west, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man. When it is time for the end of the world, it's going to be so fast, nobody's going to be able to run and hide. For wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. And I think the carcass is talking about Judaism, and the eagles will be the Romans, and it's going to be bad. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, so after this happens, or I guess actually after you see all of the signs that this is about to happen, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give its light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. This is very figurative language. This is not literal. And if you look at passages in the Old Testament, you'll find passages very similar to, you know, the sun will not shine and the stars will fall. It's figurative language, and it indicates a nation doomed. Okay. We know this is not literal because in 70 AD, the sun was not literally darkened. The moon was not literally turned off. The stars didn't literally fall from heaven. This is highly figurative language, just saying that this is a nation doomed. You know, Judaism, Jerusalem, the law of Moses, it's all going to go away in AD 70. And then the sign of the Son of Man shall appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth shall mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Again, highly figurative language. This is not literal. And he shall send his angels with the great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Again, this is not talking about the end of the world, because you cannot run and hide from God on Judgment Day. This is talking about AD 70. This is talking about any Christians living in and around Jerusalem. The Roman armies are coming. And when you see all the signs that they're coming, get out of Jerusalem. And if you want to read from a secular writer about that time, Josephus is a good one to read from. He was not a Christian, didn't believe, but he was a historian who lived during that time. So he would be a very good witness to read about that time and how bad it was. Now learn a parable from the fig tree. When its branch is yet tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. A sign. You can see the signs in nature. So you likewise, when you see all these things, all these signs, know that it is near, even at the doors. And again, this is about 30 AD, and this happened in 70 AD. So about 40 years. A lot of stuff's going to happen in those 40 years. Truly I say to you, this generation shall not pass until all these things are fulfilled. Another good indicator that he's not talking about the end of the world, that he's talking about AD 70. Unless we've got some really old people walking around. There were people standing there listening to Jesus when he says, this generation shall not pass until all these things are fulfilled. Now, starting with verse 35 to the rest of the chapter, he's going to answer the second question, which is, when is Judgment Day coming? When is Christ coming again? And you'll see a big difference between the two. For AD 70, lots of signs. You'll see it coming. There'll be lots of signs. End of the world, no signs. No signs at all. And I keep stressing this because I'll hear people say, oh, well, this terrible disaster happened and that happened and this happened and that happened. Oh, it must be the end of times. Must be the end of times. No. I mean, Jesus could come back at any time. But seeing those things and saying, oh, yeah, there's the sign of the end of times. No, there's not going to be any signs. No warning whatsoever. And from the rest of this chapter, verses 35 to the end of this chapter, Jesus makes it very clear. There will be no signs. That's why Christians have to always be prepared. And non-Christians, you need to get your act together because you don't know. You don't know when Christ is coming again. Okay, so in verse 35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour, no man knows, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Now, at this time, of course, Jesus was living as a man here on earth. So, I do think he gave up some of his knowledge, his power. He was deity, absolutely, 100% man, 100% deity. But I do think he voluntarily gave up some of his power. And so at this time when he was on the earth as a man, he probably didn't know. I think now that he's sitting on the right hand of God, he most likely does know because he's deity, he's God. But at this time, he didn't even know. He did not know when is the end of the world coming. But as the days of Noah were, so also shall be the coming of the Son of Man, or Judgment Day. just like in the days of Noah. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And if you remember, Noah actually, you know, he was building this big, huge boat. It never rained on the earth before. He's building this huge boat. He's preaching to the people, anybody who'll listen to him, look, there's a flood coming. They think he's a crazy old man. They keep living their lives. They don't believe, they don't prepare, and they end up being lost. And did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also shall be the coming of the Son of Man. And I can definitely see the similarities. You know, there's so many people on earth today that are just living their lives in total oblivion, voluntarily oblivious to the fact that Jesus could come back at any time. Then two shall be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the meal, the one shall be taken and the other left. I don't know if this is where people get the term rapture from or not. There's this doctrine out there that is all part of a premillennialism where they say, well, Jesus is coming back again, but he's going to come back as a physical king reigning on a physical throne in physical Jerusalem for 1,000 years or something. But before that, there's going to be a rapture where God is just going to take a certain number of people off the earth and just whisk them directly into heaven. And nowhere in God's word does it teach any of that. What this is referring to is simply on Judgment Day, there will be those who are taken up to meet Christ in the clouds. And those who are left behind, oh, they're not going that way. It's actually, if you go to, and we will get to this, but just a little preview. And I think it is 1 Thessalonians 4. Paul talks about Judgment Day. In verses 13 and following, I'll just read this just to kind of give you an idea of what is Jesus talking about when he says two should be in the field, one should be taken, the other left. Two women should be grinding at the meal, the one taken and the other left. Just talking about Judgment Day. He says in 1 Thessalonians, but I do not want you to be ignorant, brothers, concerning those things, concerning those who are asleep or dead, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep or have died in Jesus. For we say this to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who are asleep or dead. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, who are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall be with the Lord forever. So he's giving us a little peek of what Judgment Day is going to be like. Basically, the dead who were, when they died, were faithful Christians. They're going to be raised up first, meet Christ in the air. Then those of us who are still alive on the earth and are faithful Christians, we will rise and meet Christ in the air. So if you're left behind, that is a good indicator that you are among the lost. That's all Jesus is saying here. There is no such thing called the rapture, where God just random, you know, picks some time, or he just poof, you know, my neighbor's gone, his clothes are left behind. But you know, that I don't know where they get that. It's not taught anywhere in scriptures whatsoever. The next time Jesus comes to the earth, he's not going to step one foot back on the earth. Those of us who are saved are going to meet him in the air. He's not stepping one foot back on this earth ever. And if you read 2 Peter, you'll see that on Judgment Day, the earth and everything in it and everything around it is going to be burned up. So let's see. Okay. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord will come. We do not know when Judgment Day is. You hear all the time people trying to predict the end of the world, and they'll even get little cults together and say, okay, you know, the end of the world is going to be on this date, so let's all drink Kool-Aid and kill ourselves or what have you. And it's ridiculous. More people need to pick up the Bibles and read it and study it. We do not know when Jesus is coming again. May come in our lifetime, may come hundreds or thousands of years after we've all died. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have allowed his house to be broken into. Makes sense, right? Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at such an hour as you do not think. That's why we have to always be ready. Be sober. Be careful. Be watchful. Remain faithful. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord has made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he comes, shall find so doing. Truly I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. He's talking about a faithful Christian. When Jesus comes back on Judgment Day, the faithful Christians will be saved because they will be doing what they're supposed to be doing if you're caught in the very act. But if that evil servant says in his heart, my Lord delays his coming, and begins to strike his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunken, that describes a lot of people today, then the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he does not look for him, in an hour that he is not aware of. So this person is not prepared for Jesus to come back at all. And there have been many times in my life when I was not prepared. And I'm so thankful that I was allowed to live long enough to get my life right with God. And shall cut him in pieces and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Those people will be lost for all of eternity. So, Jesus' point is, we don't know when Judgment Day is. We don't know when Jesus is coming back. And we need to be prepared. And that is Matthew chapter 24.